TipsNet, calling the Tri-City TipsNet for Wednesday, April 28th, 2021. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located in Groton, Connecticut. I will be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed amateur radio operators are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. Let me reset. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary is the 146.67, also with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. This net can also be heard on Echolink, and attended on Echolink, look for W1DX-R, that's Whiskey 1 Delta X-Ray-Romeo. This net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. And we're always looking for somebody who would like to volunteer once or get in on the rotation. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is to, number one, provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. And two, also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. The TipsNet is a directed open net, and that means we call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list of comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have a question, any questions or comments for the net. We'll ask you for those after everyone has checked in. Let me reset. First, the open net with rounds of questions and comments, as I just described. Second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And third, there's an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communications should be directed to the net control station. When checking into the net, please say, "This is," then release the mic button, and listen to ensure no one else called in at the same time you have. If nobody did, then slowly give your call sign again phonetically, and then your name and location, and if you have a comment or a question. This is the TipsNet, and this is Net Control KC1TWR. We'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
Good evening, here is Kilo Alpha 6 Papa Delta Golf. Kevin, Norwich, no questions yet.
This is Whiskey 1 Julie Oscar Papa Mobile, Town of Groton, no questions.
Here it is. Whiskey 1, Romeo Papa Queen, Robin Oakdale, no questions, good evening.
This is Kilo 1, Delta Charlie Tango, Dave and Preston, no questions.
Here is Whiskey 1, Foxtrot Juliet Whiskey, Chuck and Groton, good evening. This is
November Tango 1 Oscar, Jerry and Preston. No questions, but I do have an update on my G5RV progress if we have time and anyone's interested. This is
November Kilo, 1 Victor, Steve, Coventry. No questions.
Okay, let's see who we have checked in here. We have Kevin, KA6PDG, John, Mobile, W1JOP, Bob, W1RPQ, Dave, K1DCT, Chuck, W1FJW, Jerry, NT10 with an update on his G5RV, and Steven, K1B. Any further check-ins at this time, please call now.
Lazy H's, fan dipoles. I do like the fan dipoles, been out of the room. And actually, actually purchase a double size G5RV because I'd like to be able to do 160 meters also without having to combine the two and grinding the other line. And I bought an arborist launcher because I needed it also to get drones out of the top of the trees. Well, this allowed me to finally start actually looking at how I could improve the installation. It's been about, the current G5RV has been about 40 feet above the ground in the center in an inverted V, coming down to about 6 feet from the ground. And what happened was I brought it up based on what I'm learning about inverted Vs in general, so that both sides are now about 45 feet above the ground, and that has made a world of difference. I now am getting traffic on 160, on 80, 40, and 20 meters really well all over the place. I can interact with them, so I'm much happier. I'm frustrated a little bit with a few other bands, like 17, 15, and up from there, but I'm presuming the G5RV is not working as well, or secondarily, I don't know enough, and I will continue doing some work. But I thought if anyone else wants to improve it and didn't know these simple things that I did not, or somebody is new listening to this and they'd like to put one up, making sure that you get it up high enough, and secondly, getting it up so the ends are certainly at least 90-100 degrees or more in a spread between them, turns out to be very important, but it doesn't need to be 60, 70 feet like a lot of things I've read. That's NT1O, back to Ness.
Thinking the net is off to a great start, and Jerry, good comments, good report. I'm going to do a couple of other things real quickly here. One, we'll call housekeeping, although it's, I suppose anybody who wants to comment can. Tim, as often as we talk, I've been forgetting to mention to you last week on the net, I don't believe you were around, or you may have been listening from out in the hinterland somewhere. I started during the announcement section of the net, highlighting one area in net that would be of interest to folks around the local area, more or less. You had mentioned, it was a good comment a few weeks ago, that the TIPS net does provide an opportunity for promoting different nets, and all the nets that go on are different. And so I'm going to do one of those a week for a while. We'll see how it goes, unless you have any concerns about that, Tim. The other item, let me reset. Also is not an original item. John mentioned it, and you mentioned the problem with the chips. And I, like John, am way behind the wagon or behind the horse or something on that news. I know it's out there. One thing I have heard is that it's not just Volkswagen. A lot of automobile manufacturers are being very severely affected and slowed down to the point where it's actually affected the used car market. I know we're not talking about ham radio here, but I'll make it quick. To the point where if you're someone who's selling a used car right now, this would be a good time to sell it. It really has driven up the price of used vehicles across the country. So those are my two comments, as droll as they might be. KA6PDG, back to net.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. Very good information in there. Yes, I think your idea of doing a deep dive, as it were, into the announcements of other nets that are going on and so forth would be much appreciated. That would be good. The fire that we're talking about was at a AKM audio chip manufacturing facility or factory, and I believe it took place about February of last year. And it was a three-day fire, according to one news report that I'm kind of scanning through. So that's, I guess, also hit the music industry with people who make audio receivers and things of that nature are also hit by this. So I guess it was a one single point of failure, which is means like there wasn't much competition. Okay, let's move on down to, Bob. And maybe he knows more about this chip issue, and maybe he's got some thoughts about Jerry and his G5RV, or maybe something he's going to bring something new to the net. W1RPQ, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, this is W1RPQ. Good evening, everyone. Well, a couple things. One is I overheard Dave this afternoon on Sailor Repeater talking about upgrading his 7300, so when I got home, I downloaded the software and updated the firmware on the 7300, and I'm really happy with all the new features that they added to it. And as soon as I can, I will get the Clubs radio updated as well, so that we'll have those features the next time we go to use it. Next, take a breath, and G5RV, glad that you got it set up the way you like it. You mentioned 17 and 15 and 12. Those bands aren't very active, so don't expect to go on there and find all kinds of things going on. But if you're pulling in 20 meters, 30 meters, and 40 meters, especially during the day, I think you're doing extremely well. But as the sunspots change things around again, I think we'll see 18 and 21 megahertz start to really open up again. So that's all I have for this round. This is W1RPQ. Back to now.
Good news about the update to the ICOM 7300. Very good. Okay, let's, speaking about Dave, let's move on to Dave, see what his thoughts are. I know, Dave, you said before they're scary, but I've bolted the door and I'm ready for it. K1DCT, KC1TWR.
All right, this is K1DCT. Yes, my thoughts, you definitely want to bolt the door. Make sure you have some bear spray at least. So, good evening to all. Let's see, I looked up on the interweb since I happen to be sitting here in front of this magic box, and it was October 2020 that fire broke out in the AKM factory. So, I haven't experienced any difficulties, although I did just recently buy a used car, and but everything seemed to go smooth, so otherwise I like my chips with a little salsa. How's that? Glad to hear Jerry got his antenna oriented the way he likes it. Yeah, all these things matter, you know, height, orientation, sunspots, and they all play into a formula that you can never quite figure out because everything changes. So, but he and I had a little discussion, I guess it was a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, at the town transfer station. So, glad to hear he's satisfied with it, and as Bob mentioned, yes, the higher frequency bands have not yet quite come alive. I won't say there's no activity, but until the sunspots have been hovering around the 50 mark for, I don't know, probably close to a month, somewhere around there. So when they start kicking up a little higher for you know, a few weeks at a time, a month, you'll start to see those bands pick up, and they're, you know, of course, daytime stuff, but, you know, still a good time to be on 160, especially, you know, nighttime, and it's still pretty quiet. So, with that, I think that's about all I've got. K1DCT, back to net.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Just so everybody's aware, I kind of moved a couple of people around on the list. John W1J will be at the top, and then Jerry and T1O, and then we'll come down through Kevin and so forth. We still have a couple of people to go. But before I do that, another call out, I do want to go back to John, who said he's only going to be on for about 20 minutes, and that was about 15 or so minutes ago. So let's see if he has anything for a second round of comments. That kind of other turn, but I think he'll understand. W1J will be
Hi, I am in the Rose City right now in Norwich, so you get me in good timing. I got 5 minutes left. I get no other comments. I find that chip thing interesting. I'll go online and read more about it. But everybody has a good evening, and I'll catch you tomorrow on the Walnut Net. This is W1GOP 73.
Okay, John, have yourself a good evening. Thanks for joining us on the TipsNet. When you're looking at the chip thing, just type in AKM, Alpha Kilo Michael, and chip, the fire, or something of that nature, and it'll pop right up. As a side note, there was the CEO of Millennia Media, apparently is a large professional audio component manufacturer, and they said that every AKM part we use is made exclusively at that plant. Therefore, all the audio parts immediately disappeared from frontline distributors as we saw $5 AKM parts being offered at $110 each. So, I guess this is really something. And I did read where several people have ordered radios through HRO and places of that nature, and they're all back ordered because the manufacturer is waiting to get more chips before they can actually put the radio up here. Okay, let me do another quick call out, then we'll finish going down through the list. Anybody else that would like to join us on the TipsNet, be added to the list. Please come now with your call sign. W1FJW, see what he thinks about either the G5RV, the chips, or maybe something else. W1FJW, KC1TWR.
Many years ago, some of us were bemoaning the fact that all our chips were coming from offshore, and we Americans, if we really wanted to show some ambition, could start building modern chip factories, but it's always cheaper to let somebody else do it, I guess, rather than try to do it here. And while we like to save the environment, when you get really zealous about it, it makes building anything here extremely difficult and extremely expensive, and it's just too easy to put the problem on somebody else's border, and this is what happens. No competition, one factory burns down, and everybody's left waiting. And fortunately, G5RVs can be made by anyone, anywhere, so sounds good. Sounds like Jerry found the key to be altitude, and getting the antenna up there certainly seems to have helped quite a bit. Back to net, W1FJW.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. And yeah, it reminds me of my grandfather on my mother's side. Bayside used to be the owner of Electromotive Manufacturing up in Willimantic. And this is back, probably about 55 years ago or so. And I do remember him complaining about the fact that his company made, you know, little resistors and things of that nature. And he was complaining about the fact that overseas they were paying their help like 12 cents an hour. And I can't remember the dollar figure he was saying for his people, but it was quite a difference. And that's part of it, I guess. Okay, let's move on to Jerry. We're going to catch you at the top of the round, so we're going to move on to Steve to see what his thoughts are on all this. NK1B, KC1TWR.
NK1B. Yeah, I did hear about the chip factory error issue, and it seems to affect a lot of things, gaming systems, so on. In the fleet trucking industry, I don't know if it's just the burning of that factory or the post-COVID shutdown stuff, but there's a lot of things in general are very hard to get right now. And electronics is extremely hard to get. A lot of the modern diesels and stuff use nitrous oxide sensors and stuff and they're not very robust. They tend to fail off, and then they're very hard to get, even, you know, aftermarket and so on. So it's a lot of other stuff that's difficult to get. It's kind of interesting. And of course, now that everybody's catching on, there's those who choose to use that to their advantage and gouge and so on. So the market's interesting globally. Will be for a while. Let me reset. On a lighter note, the G5RV, Jerry, yeah, it's actually funny you should mention that, because tonight I took advantage of the weather, and I was, some of you guys knew I had my actual radio transceiver was actually up at the bottom of my tower, and I remotely controlled it, and I just been having issues with that, so I've taking it back down, not the tower, but the radio, so you don't put it back in here. So one of the things I was doing is I have a basically, you know, a doublet, which is basically what a G5RV is, and I ran that down into the up on the hill. Now I extended. I purchased some more 450 ohm window line, and of course I was about 12 feet short. So that being said, I upped on my one-to-one and ran 20 feet of coax and coiled it and brought it back into the shack, and it works pretty good. So that's essentially not dissimilar to a G5RV concept, and that does great on everything, except as usual, I seem to always have issues with doublets that tune 80 and 20 well. They seem to fight a little bit on 40 and 17, but I can tune that up a little bit. Yeah, it's good antenna, and I've used those quite a bit, the actual purchased G5RVs, and elevation does help, and they do seem to work, I would say better, but you get different performance when you get a nice flat top like that, you know, get the ends up higher. But I have done them almost on the ground also, and at different performance, but you're definitely on the right track for general use. Back to net, NK1B.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Good information there. Appreciate that. And thank you again for the presentation you did last night on Parks on the Air. That was very good indeed. Okay, we've reached the bottom of this list, so we're going to go back up to the top again. And I have a question for this round, which is, what's your favorite amateur radio event? Out of the whole year, if you had to pick one, and said, that's what I really like. Is it a ham fest? Is it field day? Is it a particular QSO party? Is it Parks on the Air? Is it Islands on the Air? What is your favorite activity out of all of them that, you know, tops your list? I'm just curious. So let's start with Kevin. No, I take that back. We're going to start with Jerry, because I had reordered the list a little bit. And Jerry, so far, what do you think? What events or what type of amateur radio activity is your favorite? NT10, KC1TWR.
This is NT10. I've attended a field day
last year. I enjoyed it. I definitely would like to go again. But I think it's the Ham Fest that I'm really dying to attend. As a matter of fact, as Dave mentioned, we saw each other last week at the transfer station of all places. And I'd love to be able to find items to purchase. And I have a lot of electronic stuff that I've accumulated through the years that I'd like to bring. Some of it directly related to broadcasting of some form or reception. Others just electronic measurement stuff that I think would be of interest to hams in general. So for me, I've not attended one yet, but I believe I would enjoy that the most. And I'm hoping that as COVID-19 abates and the state starts to open up, that we'll at least have one, if not a few, that I can attend different places this summer. NT1L, back to Nat.
Okay, very good answer. And actually, I do know that there are two ham fests that have already been announced for Connecticut. But unfortunately, they're both on the other side of the state. So you can get there, but it's about an hour and a half drive from here. So you'll have to think about it and make your decision. And there may be more. Those are the two that I know of. One is CARA, the Candlewood Amateur Radio Club. And I think they're in Newtown, Connecticut. And then I think the other one's up in the Berkshires, but I'm not sure. Okay, let's move on to Kevin and see what's his favorite activity. KA6PDG, KC1TWR.
Well, having had a few moments to consider in the deepest possible fashion this most intriguing and pointed question, I must announce to the net that I don't know. I'm a person, and it's a fine question, but I'm a person who doesn't do well with favorites. I don't really have a favorite ice cream or a favorite day of the week or whatever. But I'll try to answer it. It's, I guess what I really enjoy, and it doesn't happen every year, but when I have the chance to go out somewhere, probably camping in the woods, or somewhere out in the wild, out in the country, or it might be for field day. I haven't been out to the farm in Colchester that Raysun's been using for a couple of events. I look forward to getting out there. I like being able to operate from the field. Obviously, I enjoy operating from home, and when possible, taking part in events that might require me to be at a public service event like a triathlon or something. Those are all fun, but I do like operating out in the field. Maybe it's one of the reasons that I've always wanted to operate HF from a train. Think about that for a minute. And I've always wanted to operate HF from a boat, which many people do who are avid boaters and ham operators, but I never have. I would love to go out past Block Island somewhere, way out there, away from any kind of potential noise, and do some hamming. But that's probably the best I can do with the question, because I like everything. KA6PDG, back to Nat.
Okay, very good answer, Kevin. I like that. And mounted on the caboose of the Essex train, especially on the fall tour, or something of that nature. But anyhow, that's good. Myself, I'll throw this out there. I enjoy field day. I enjoy museum ships weekend on the air. I enjoy the ham fest. I enjoy and miss the breakfasts with fellow amateur radio operators. But the one that kind of creeps up to the top for me are the ham auctions, the ones at the Gales Ferry Firehouse. I really, really, really enjoy those. It's a great place to see all the projects and radios and things that people have bought and things that they're going to buy. And here, you know, everybody stands around before the auction starts and does all this talking and telling stories about the various equipment cards and what they've done with it. Oh, I haven't seen one of those in years. Why, we used to such and such. And, oh, we used to modify this and do that. And, oh, you got to watch out for the such and such tube on this one. A lot of good stories. A lot of good stories. Okay, before we continue on, let me reset and also do a quick call out. Anybody else that would like to join this evening, please come now with your call sign.
Been there a couple times and always had a very, very good time. It was a wonderful
time up there. Okay, let's move on to Chuck. See which activity he likes best. WNFJW, KC1TWR.
Well, it used to be field day and fox hunts, and I still like fox hunts on foot, but the driving around part is getting less appealing to me. I come home with too much junk and have tons of fun turning it into other things, but still you got a house full of junk to get rid of, so we'll have to see about that, but definitely intend to go to field day and on some walking fox hunts. As a matter of fact, my third planet solar offset attenuator came in today, or at least the kit, so I get to put that together again soon. Back to net, W1FJW.
Wants to work on it, or and pick up something else that you're going to work on, and that's half of the amateur radio is the putting of things together and seeing if you can make something work. Okay, let's move on to, let's see, I think we already have, and we'll move on to Steve. He's at the bottom of the list here, and let's see which event. I think I know which event, but I could be surprised. NK1B, KC1PWR.
I don't like the commit. Well, it is a commitment, you know. The amount of time to put in for that. I kind of like to set up, play a little bit, break down, go to the next one, kind of thing. I do like the to go to the campus and stuff. I 2 years ago we went to Boxborough. We actually camped up there, and I ended up meeting a whole bunch of people from New England and New York that I had met on a 75 meter net, and that was very nice. You know, got to actually chat with them and stuff like that. And I usually don't walk away with too much stuff. You know, I kind of agree with Chuck. You got to be careful that you don't just. I know I got a bad habit of just bringing a bunch of stuff home that I probably didn't really need, but it is they're usually a good opportunity to get. You know, an occasional thing or something like that. If you're actually looking for something, you come across it. That's about it. Yeah, I like to get out, and I like it when a project, any project, you know, doing something, putting something together, and it actually works. And sometimes it even works better than I thought it would. It doesn't always happen like that, but those are good times. Back to that, NK1B.
Okay, thank you, Steve, and I think you're sort of in the same boat as Bob and Kevin. They both like to just get outside and set up a wire and see who they can contact. That's always fun. Let me just make a couple of quick comments about Field Day for those that may be listening and who aren't checked in at the moment. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club and the Raceon Club and I believe ECARA up in the northeast corner are all planning to have field to have their field day this year. And the typical setup usually involves some good food on Saturday night and or Saturday afternoon. And it also means that they'll have radios and antennas set up so that if you just want to stop by and operate for a little bit, no commitment, no time element or anything, for the most part, I think that would be fine. And they'd move over and give give you space and let you do that. And if you want to bring your own radio and set up, I think usually that'll work out well too. Okay, we've reached the bottom of the list. Let me do another quick call out before we start section two. So let me do it this way. Any additional check-ins or any additional comments after the first section of the TIPSnet, please come now with your call sign.
Okay, 6PDG, a very quick comment.
Yep, go ahead, Kevin.
You mentioned Field Day for the benefit of those who might be listening, and it's important to remind people that even if you're not a licensed radio amateur, you can operate an amateur station under the direct supervision of a licensed ham. So for those who might be feeling brave, young or old, who want to come out to Field Day and see what it's like to sit down and call CQ and see who you get, that opportunity is there as well. And sometimes that inspires people. They think, wow, this is fun. I'm going to get my ham license, KA6PDG. And I will have a net of the night whenever you decide it's time.
Okay, thank you very much there, Kevin. And the more I think about it, I think that would fit in very well with the second section where we talk about announcements and items of interest. And I think that's definitely an item of interest. So how about if we get started with the second section? And if you don't mind going first, and then we'll ask if anyone else has any other announcements about upcoming events or items of interest. But in the meantime, do you mind going first, Kevin?
Sure, not a problem. That way people have a moment to think about any announcements they want to bring up. So tonight, for our second Net of the Night commentary, I'm going to talk about the Eastern Connecticut Traffic Net for a moment, and the reason I'm going to do that is because there is an announcement pertaining to that net, which is that while the Eastern Connecticut Traffic Net usually meets on the Norwich repeater at 9 p.m. every night of the year, it is temporarily moving to this repeater starting tonight, and hopefully that will be a short-lived change. It's because of some problems with the Norwich repeater, and we pray that the Raison Club will have good luck in seeing those issues soon, their technical issues. Starting tonight and for the next few days or weeks or whatever, the Eastern Connecticut Traffic Net will be here on this repeater at 9 o'clock. What is the Eastern Connecticut Traffic Net? Well, a lot of you already know it's a net that meets to pass written formal traffic. Remember, in radio, when we talk about traffic, we're not talking about how fast you're going or not going on the freeway. We're talking about messages sent over radio. The word traffic is used even in commercial broadcasting to mean messages that are sent over the air. Let me reset. The Eastern Connecticut Traffic Net, like other traffic nets, is affiliated, with most of them anyway, with the National Traffic System, which is under the auspices of the ARRL, typically practices handling written formal messages, or if you will, written formal traffic, using the ARRL's NTS format. Anyway, the net has been around for a long time. I don't know when it started, but it used to be called the Raison Traffic Net for Radio Amateur Society of Norwich, because that's the repeater it met on. But the feeling came along that it might be more appropriate or more inclusive to call it the Eastern Connecticut Traffic Net, and that change took place, I think, somewhere around 18 or 20 years ago. But when I first came back visiting in Connecticut in 1982, the traffic net was on the air and was flourishing. I think on any given night there were 15 check-ins. Traffic nets are not as busy as they used to be, but it still is an excellent opportunity to practice your ability to convey written messages accurately, clearly, and in a time-effective manner. And everybody's welcome. Come on the net. Send a message for as an experiment or as training, I should say. Ask questions, listen to how others do it, or just check in and say hi. It's friendly net, ECTN, nightly at 9 o'clock. KA6PDG, hope I didn't take too much time.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. Very good announcement there, or covering of the traffic net. And I certainly hope that they feed the race on repeater a couple of aspirin, put it to bed, and hopefully it'll feel better soon. Okay, so at this point, we're in the second section. Any other announcements or items of interest, please come now with your call sign.
Whiskey 1, Romeo Papa Queen.
Okay, Bob, go for it.
This is W1RPQ. For all the Tri-City members and anyone else that is actually interested in attending our field day this year at Camp Oakdale in Montville, we're going to be meeting up there at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning to look at the grounds and go over some tentative antenna plans and how we want to set things up. So if you're interested, please come on down. That's Camp Oakdale in the town of Montville, 10 a.m. Sunday morning. W1RPQ, back to net.
Okay, anybody with questions or comments for Bob and about his announcement, please come to your call sign now. Okay, any other announcements or items of interest, please call now. Okay, now we're going to jump into the third section of the tips net. Is there anyone out there that wishes to swap, sell, or looking for amateur radio-related items? If so, please call now. Alpha Romeo Charlie.net. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. And now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is KC1TWR wishing everyone a beautiful, pleasant evening and 73.